Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Repeat after me, the only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it. According to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Clap those hands and honor the Lord in this place. All right. We have a lot to cover. I started talking last week about what makes a laborer. We're in the series on growing. We've broken that down into three major sections: seed, time, and harvest. We're in the harvest section of our series. We have been here. We're going on our sixth month, so we're finishing month five. We're going into month six. Month six will take us all the way to Advent. I'm excited about what God has ahead. And if you hear the Lord in any way, you should know that something is happening in the body of Christ. Yeah, if you got any type of inkling of the move of God, amen. As a matter of fact, I heard something the other day, some corrective language. I understand what we mean when we say the move of God. I know I've said it, but I was listening to a teacher the other day, and I was like, you know what? That's true. Because if the whole earth is full of his glory, how does he move? Never mind. The Lord doesn't move. We do. He's not going around like, let me get over here. Let me get over there. Let me move over here. Let me move over there. Let me hurry up over. Let me get to Israel right quick. All right, let me move Israel. Let me get to Gaza. Okay, let me leave Gaza. Let me go to the United States. That's not the way God does. We're the ones that come into alignment with him. Huh? The Bible says there's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. He don't have to move. We have to move. Amen? Amen. So, with that being the case, something is upon us, and as we continue to work through this series, the challenges are real. I know some of you feel challenged, but y'all gonna be all right. So you got your notebooks? This sub-series, for the benefit of Essence, is What Makes a Laborer, Part 3, Essence. Part 2 was Wednesday. You gotta keep Essence's notes together, because when Essence feel like I leave out something, Deacon Sanders, she feels some type of way. All right. She'll just text. This is correct. So this is part 3. So we've been talking about the qualities of a laborer. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. We've been talking about the qualities of a laborer. I pray you've been keeping your notes together, but it's not enough to just have notes. You got to apply them. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word so we don't deceive ourselves. But we began this portion of the series by talking about the scripture, which tells us the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are what?
Few.
So we don't have a harvest problem. There's plenty. There's plenty harvest. God does not have a scarcity mindset. He's not going to run out. Come on, get that in your mind. I don't care what you see on TV. God don't run out. It's not like God, like, ooh, it's getting low. Huh? I don't leave it. Ooh, my power getting low. He's not like superheroes we see on TV. He don't have to charge up. He don't need nothing happen, nothing. This is just who he is. We're gonna see this as we go through the message today, but we don't have a harvest problem. We got a labor problem. As a matter of fact, to be clear, we have a godly labor problem. See, the devil labors. Matter of fact, the devil labors consistently. Amen. But unfortunately, we like to talk about laboring and think about laboring and hang around laborers and not do no laboring. Amen. So back in Numbers, I want to extrapolate some principles today. We were there last week. We were there on Wednesday. We're going to be there today. We'll be in Numbers next week. We'll be in Numbers on Wednesday. We'll be in Numbers after that. So let's read first, beginning at verse 1. And I'm going to read 1 through 6, and then I want to skip down to verse 25, and I'll read 25 through 30. You got me, media team? So I'm going to read 1 through 6, and I'm going to skip down to verse 25, and I'm going to read 25 through 30. Are you there? All right. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourself men that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader among them." Leave that verse up for me. Send out for yourself. You know, when I read that, Deacon K, that thing got to me, especially the way the NASB translates it, send out for yourself. I already know what's there. This is for you. Did y'all catch that? Send out for yourself. I already know the information. This is going to benefit you. See, please understand, we're not giving God any new information. Y'all with me? It's not like we encounter somebody and we pray God like, "God, you know what? Guess what I found out about Sister So-and-so." That's not the way this works at all. So God is sending them not for his benefit, but for theirs. Amen? Verse 3, it reads, "So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the sons of Israel." Mm-hmm. "These then were their names: from the tribe of Reuben, Shammu, the son of Zachar; from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori." Verse 6, "From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." Again, verse 6, "From the tribe of Judah," what's the boy's name?
Caleb.
"From the tribe of what?"
Judah.
"What's his name?"
Caleb.
"The son of who?" Come on, get your pronunciation. Jephunneh. Jephun. That PH is an F. You know, English is weird. They could have just put an F in there. Would have been so much easier. Jephunneh. "From the tribe of what?"
Judah.
What's the boy's name?
Caleb.
What's his daddy's name?
Jephunneh.
Now let's run down to verse 25. Mm-hmm. "When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, 'We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. This is the fruit.'" Y'all with me? "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, so, and the cities are fortified, so, and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land. The Negev and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." Verse 30, look at this. Then, what's that boy's name? What tribe he from?
Judah.
What is daddy name?
Jephunneh.
"Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it.'" Who said it?
Caleb.
What tribe he from?
Judah.
What is daddy name?
Jephunneh.
All right. So as we lean, come on, it's going to come back and get us in a minute. As we learn what it means to be a laborer, I just need to spend today's message focused on Caleb. Because after all, them other spies act like they ain't got no good sense. Now, if you've read ahead, you know, if you've been that student and you've read ahead, you'll figure out that Joshua eventually got himself together, bless his heart. He did. Joshua was eventually like, I probably should listen to Caleb. But he didn't speak up in the moment. Only Caleb did. What tribe is he from? What is daddy's name? Wonderful. So if we're going to figure out what it means to labor, I just want to spend some time giving you some qualities that we see in Caleb. I just got three qualities. It'll take us the rest of our time together. Number one, you got your notes? A laborer must know and never forget their designation. Write that down. A laborer must know and never forget. Don't leave that part out. Because some stuff we know you forgot. Okay. Circumstances will cause you to forget what you know. That's where the phrase, you should know better. Oh, that means, see, you normally say that when something happened and people acting like they done forgot what they know. Trauma will do that to you. I don't know if anybody's ever been to the gun range, but the interesting thing about the gun range is it really doesn't train you for any type of real life bad situation. It doesn't. I understand. Because in real life, the bad guy not going to stand still at 3 yards. In real life, the bad guy's not going to be like, I'm 10 yards away, standing still. Take your time. Sight picture. Get your breathing together. Stance. Bad guy ain't doing that. Bad guy's like, trying to get to you before you get to me. I'm going to get to you. That's real life. They tell you in real life that if the bad guy is 30 feet from you with a knife in his hand, by the time you pull your firearm, you're cut at 30 feet. But what happens in the middle of trauma is actually your body loses all of its fine motor skills. All of your fine motor skills actually leave your body when you go into fight or flight. You lose all of your fine motors, which means that what happens in trauma is you simply do what you've been trained to do. This is why police officers, watch this, this is why police officers, when they were shooting 3 times and people were like, why didn't you shoot them in the head? They never get prosecuted. Or like, shoot them in the leg, shoot them in the fingertip. You didn't have to do all of that. Why'd you shoot them 2 times in the chest and 1 time in the head? Why did you do that? Because that's what we've been trained to do. See, for a long time, the police officers were trained. They called it a triple tap. 2 to the body, 1 to the head, every time. Every time they pulled their firearm, they were going to pull the trigger 3 times. Period. I don't care what it is. Dog, cat, person. 3 times. Pop, pop, pop. Every time. That's what they were going to do. When the situation got bad, they're not even looking at what they're shooting at until 3 shots have been fired. You know what the new measure is? Empty the clip. It's no longer a triple tap. Now the police officers do not assess the situation until the clip is empty. So now what they do is they empty the clip, they remove the clip, reload, then assess. Now, what are you training to do? Oh, it's quiet. What are you training to do? Or are you trying to get skillful in the middle of trauma? It's not gonna work. Because what happens is when trauma comes, you do what you've been trained to do. So if you've never developed meekness, okay, meekness is not gonna show up when you're in the middle of trauma. If you've never developed a prayer life, yeah, okay. It's not like you're going to be proficient in prayer when everything's going crazy in your life. Are y'all with me what I'm saying? So if all you know how to do when trouble comes is to go get you a bottle, some bud, amen, and it's like bottle in one hand, joint in the other hand, that's all I know how to do, that's what you're going to do, even though you say you saved. That's your triple tap. This is what I'm proficient at. I know how to drink. I know how to get high. I know how to call a lady. Boom. Triple tap. Then people look at you and go, why did you do that? Because I haven't trained in anything else, because our churches teach us how to do church and not how to do life. Y'all walking with me so far? So if I'm going to be a laborer, I must know and never forget my designation. When I talk about your designation, I'm saying I must know and never forget what I'm called and where I've been placed. Numbers 13 again, go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Numbers 13, verse 1. Mm-hmm. She's working. She don't want to do right. Oh, there it is. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, verse 2. Look. Send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, every one of what? Come on, every one of who? Every one of what now again? A leader. Not just, this ain't just somebody. Everybody I'm sending is a leader. Now go to verse 6. Everyone I'm sending is a leader. Look at verse 6. Everyone I'm sending is a leader from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of who? Jephunneh. Now, if he got sent, Lord have mercy. He's a what?
Leader.
If he got sent, he's a what?
Leader.
Okay, if he got sent, he's a what?
Leader.
Ain't got nothing to do with his feelings. This don't have nothing to do with your feelings. It has everything to do with who sent you. I don't care what you feel. Caleb didn't get to say, I don't feel like a leader. Moses sent him. Oh, it's going to get better in a second. If, watch this, if my leader designates me, I am what I've been designated, regardless of how I feel. And I need to carry out the mission, not according to my feelings, but according to my designation. Y'all. So when I'm out here, I don't get to carry out the mission according to my feelings. See, what happens, when you're getting corrected as a leader, you're being corrected because you're behaving in a way that doesn't match your designation. You're behaving in a way that doesn't match your designation. See, what we cannot have, especially now in the midst of everything going on in the body of Christ, we don't need folk who gonna have designations for word only. I don't need no more deacons that just want to be deacon so-and-so. I don't need no more elders that just want to be elder so-and-so. We don't need no more bishops who just want to wear a ring. No. We don't need that. We need people who are going to behave according to the designation. And one of the issues in this text is when they got back, only one guy behaved according to his designation. Only one guy behaved like a leader. Why would you say that? Go to verse 30, please. A laborer must know and never forget their designation. See, some of you done forgot your designation. Like, you know, the designation of you're fearfully. I don't know you to mess around and forgot that. And wonderfully made, the designation that you are the head and not the tail. That's a designation. The designation you're above only and not beneath, huh? The designation that you are seated with him in heavenly places. Come on, those are designations. So when the enemy comes, why in the world did you forget your designation? Why are you behaving as if the devil is your peer? Some of us behave as if the devil is our superior. That means you forgot your designation. Oh, yes, yeah, it's quiet in here. It's good. It's a good day. It's a good Sunday. Verse 30, Caleb, what tribe he from? What a daddy name. Oh, that's going to come back to get us in point two. Y'all watch. Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Caleb quiet. Now, I don't particularly care for the word choice, quieted, because it don't really do it right. It don't do it right. In the Hebrew, I understand, you know, they put quiet. Don't that sound really nice? Don't that sound nice? He quieted. Don't that sound real gentle? But the word actually in the Hebrew does not mean that he was gentle. It means that he spoke to them like a commander would to his troops. It literally means, it's a really nice way, but you know what it really means, Edelila? It means he told them to shut up. As a matter of fact, one definition says he hushed them. Huh? He hushed them. He told them to shut up. He didn't talk to them because watch this. He remembered his designation. And since y'all don't want to be my fellow leaders, and apparently I'm the only leader here, I'm going to talk to y'all like a leader would. Shut up. What's wrong with y'all? See, what happens is, watch this, listen to me. When we're designated, when you're designated, you have to not only behave according to your designation, but continue to speak according to your designation. Many of us want to be designated, but you can't handle what comes with designation. Quiet in here. You want all these tasks, but don't want none of the accountability. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm about to go to work. Oh, I'm going to do everything for the Lord. Lord, where you send me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With him. Oh, line. 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 The Lord told you to go across the street and bring the mail out your neighbor's house. You'd be like, it's raining, Lord. It's raining, Lord. See, because God, when he designates you, nothing else matters. Giants. So what are you? Okay. Yeah, I'm a leader. I've been designated. I got to behave according to my designation. Why in the world, when trouble comes, do we forget who we are? So a laborer must know and never forget their what? Designation. Good notes. Here's number two. Here we go. A laborer must know and never forget their origin. First one is their designation. The second one is their origin. Excuse me, Bishop. Now, write this, please, in your notes. Origin, not circumstances, speak to our purpose. Origin, not circumstances, speak to our purpose. Explain. How a thing was made originally is what it is. Not what it becomes. How it was made originally is what it is. I was watching a video of a guy, he was doing like a What's on My Desk tour, and he said, watch it. This is my desk. It's made from skateboards. Wait. That means even though you have repurposed, he didn't say this is my desk, even though wood is wood is wood. No, you can't say that. Because the origin determined its purpose. This is a skateboard that I'm using as a desk. What we often do in our lives is when stuff hits us, you allow the circumstance to repurpose you. And you forget your origin. And when you forget your origin, you walk away from all of the things that God put in you from the beginning. Now, I'm gonna take this further. Let me give y'all one little more point to put in your notes. A stain don't change anything. Just because your life has stained you, that does not mean that stains change origin. See, because what happens, there is now therefore no condemnation. That's Romans 8, right? So what happens is you go through something, you like, okay, I'm no longer usable. According to who? According to what? Why are you telling God, who knew you was going to blow it, that how he designed you is no longer valid? We'll let that sit for a second. We act like our mess ups surprise God. Like God was like, who didn't see that one coming? I had no idea you was going to do that. No, he knew. It's all about how you handle, how you maneuver, how you get out of that thing. So Caleb, now let's go back to verse 6. I know I'm jumping around, I'm doing it on purpose. Go to verse 6, please. Y'all okay? Don't forget your origin. Go to verse 6. That computer's giving her problems today. That's 10. There you go. From the tribe of Judah. Now, y'all were laughing at me, but this is important. From the tribe of what? Judah. What's the boy's name?
Caleb.
What's his daddy's name?
Judah.
Now, a laborer must know and never forget their origin. Now, I kept reading this verse, and it kept jumping out at me. Coach, because I'm about to say something. Caleb not from the tribe of Judah. It's saying right there. It's not his tribe. Caleb not came. He ain't from there. But it's saying right there in the Bible. Okay. Go to Numbers. Who Caleb's daddy? Okay, go to Numbers, verse 32. Numbers chapter 32, verse 11. Numbers 32, 11. It's on the screen, but I need y'all to see it in y'all paper Bible or whatever screen in front of y'all so y'all know I didn't modify nothing. Y'all ready? None of the men who came from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Wait. He swore the land to who? Abraham and who else?
Isaac.
Who else? Okay. For they did not follow me. Go to verse 12. Except Caleb, the son of who?
Jephunneh.
I did say that is the boy daddy, ain't it? But Jephunneh, it is a Kenizzite. And Joshua, the son of Nun. We'll get to him later. Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. You're still not here. She's still not here. Numbers 13 said that Caleb came from what tribe? And Caleb's daddy is who? Okay. But Numbers 32 said Caleb, the son of what the boy name? Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Wait a minute. So if my daddy is a Kenizzite, I can't be from another tribe. Matter of fact, there's a whole group of people called Calebites. Oh, yeah, it's quiet in here. Caleb is not from the tribe of Judah. He was placed in the tribe of Judah later on. See, sometimes, that's why I said we started with designation. Sometimes God will place you in another tribe to show the tribe what they need to act like. Amen. Sometimes God will be like, okay. Because see, God is never surprised by anything. Jephunneh is a Kenizzite. I'm going to show y'all something here in just a second that is very, very important, because when Caleb gets to this land and everybody is freaking out and everybody's like, oh my God, the grapes are so big, and oh my God, there's giants in the land, Caleb is like, this ain't no big deal. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to study, like, what was in him? Like, what is in him? Because he saw the same thing everybody else saw. So what's in that guy that was different than what was in everybody else? Well, first of all, he never forgot his designation. But secondly, he didn't forget his origin. I know that I've been sent here to represent Judah, but that's not really where I'm from. I've been sent to represent Judah, y'all, but that's not where I'm from. I'm not from this tribe. Now I'm going to take y'all one more step. Okay. I'm telling y'all right now, turbulence. Y'all ready? Genesis 15. Watch this. Genesis 15, verse 17. Oh, yeah. It came about when the sun had set, because he promised the land to Abraham who? Who else? Okay. It came about when the sun had set that it was very dark. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. Keep going. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I've given this land. Now, that land right there, that's the promised land. This is Canaan. Now, he done said all the way back in Genesis, y'all walk with me, all the way back in Genesis, he's talking to Abram, and he's telling Abram, this your land without conditions. It's yours. I'm going to give it to you from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Keep going. Verse 19, please. The Kenite, and the Kenizzite. Wait. You mean to tell me that this land was already promised to the Kenizzite in Genesis chapter 15? Wait. What Caleb daddy name? We did just read that Jephunneh is a Kenizzite, right? Okay. So you mean to tell me that Caleb's father had a promise on his life that the land that Caleb was about to walk into was already his. So when Caleb got there, Caleb like, this already my land. I don't understand what y'all tripping over. I'm representing Judah, but the land was already promised to my dad's people. Come on now, you can't take something from me that's already mine. Oh, I don't even understand why y'all worrying about something that already belongs to you. How in the world are we allowing people to come in and take stuff that's already ours? It makes, come on now, you got to recognize that when God makes you a promise, it's God making you a promise. And you can't, and people ain't got no rights on your stuff. Nobody has, okay. If Art leaves something in his will and it ain't in my name, I can't have it. I can want it all I want. I can come before the court and stomp my foot and spin and twirl and do all of it. Listen, I can act a fool, but I can't have what's not in the will for me. Oh, come on now. Can't nobody get what's been left for me, even if I can't get it until a time comes. Y'all not in here. So when Caleb walks in, only thing that Moses did was told Caleb to go walk into the thing that was already promised to him. So when he gets there, he was like, well, I can go see it, but it's already mine. I mean, you know, I don't understand what the big deal is. I can go look. See, you got to get that level of faith. Well, when God tells you to do something, you can be like, I can go look for it, but it's already mine. I already know what the promise of God is. I don't know why. See, because some of you right now pacing the floor and stressing over promises. Y'all didn't hear that. I'll say it again. You stressing and pacing over a promise. For what? Let's keep reading. Go to verse 20. The Hittite, the Perizzite, the Raphaim, keep going, verse 21. The Amorite, the Canaanite, the Girgashite, the Jebusite. Wait. Go back to Numbers chapter 13, and I want y'all to look at verse 25 again. Go to verse 25. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, verse 26. They proceed to come to Moses, Aaron, all the congregation in the wilderness. Go to verse 27. Yep. We went, flowing milk and honey. Verse 28. The people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, very large. We saw descendants of Anak there. 29. Hittites, Jebusites. Well, of course they are. So wait a minute. Hold on. If the people who got the same promise as me already live there, what make you think you're going to kick me out when I'm in the same list as the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Canaanites? I'm in the same list. I'm a Kenizzite. This my property. You think I'm about to be worried? If I get there and I see people who are already walking in the same promise I got, of course, I'm like, all right, God, I'm home. This is not no big deal. Come on now. This is why, y'all, you got to stop holding your mouth when God does something for you. Because you're walking in the very promise that people are trying to get to. And when they hear that that thing worked for you, then they go, oh, if it worked for you, it can work for me too. So everybody else is sitting there looking at Caleb like he's crazy. Meanwhile, Caleb is like, I saw my people there. I saw the promise there. There's no way in the world that I can be kept out of that land. There are things right now that you're asking God to give you that he's already given you. You're sitting up there like, Lord, I can't wait till it get here. He's like, it's here. And I need y'all to hear in the spirit. There are some things right now that God is like, they're yours already. But we get amnesia about the promise when the circumstances don't look right. Caleb is like, what is y'all's issue? I understand why he was telling them to shut up now. Y'all shut up. I got a promise. Y'all talking real foul. I see my cousins and them over there. I'm going to the crib. God done told us that we can all go. I don't understand what y'all problem is. Listen to people who are not afraid of what you're afraid of. Y'all, you stop surrounding yourself with people who are afraid of the promises of God on your life. When you start telling people the promises of God and they start going, that's a whole lot. Okay, cool. We need to stop. Thanks. Thank you for giving me the information that you can't handle where I'm going. Now, we can still be cool, but if it's too much for you, we can't talk, because when I'm sitting there trying to walk into this thing, you're going to be trying to talk me out of it. I can't be surrounded with people who are always trying to find 22 ways why I can't do it. God, did you say it? Yes. Then we're done with this conversation. This thing's been promised before the foundation of the world. But see, then this happened, and there's giants there, and the fruit's big. So what? The promise is not negated by the circumstances. Amen. Okay, what you see? Okay, what you see? Amen. Okay, what you see? We sit up there, you turn to, see, some of us right now, you got more faith in what's going on in the news than you do the scriptures. News come on, they talking about it's bad, it's very, very bad. It's super, super bad. You're like, oh, it's bad. It's very, very bad. It is super, super bad. Therefore, I should be depressed. I bet you I will not. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the prevalence of news. The joy of the Lord, not the prevalence of news. The joy of the Lord. Come on now, some of y'all need to stop scrolling and start praying. Come on now, you're ingesting too much of the wrong thing. Huh? You're ingesting too much of the wrong thing. When you get too much in your diet, it changes your system. Too much of the wrong thing in your diet will change your system. You're trying to figure out why your system is not functioning properly. It's because you're ingesting the wrong things. Come on, take it in the natural. Understand what I'm saying. How much time are you spending on socials versus in your scriptures? And when you're ingesting all of that, come on now, you done spent 45 minutes getting just the right angle on your Instagram photo, but a 2-second prayer is too much for you. You getting the lighting and you got everything going and you making sure that it's your best side and that your skin is popping and that your melanin is going and you got everything going for you and you got to go ahead and position the teacup just the right way and get the pen crooked just the right way and get the paper on the side to give people the impression that you in a coffee shop doing work, but you ain't worked. See, because when your entire life is based upon how people perceive you, while simultaneously overlooking what God knows about you, then you are sitting there bypassing the very promise that is going to get you to promise. God is like, this your land. And you walking around it like, it don't look like what Jimmy got. I don't care. Jimmy can get whatever Jimmy want. I want what God has for me. See, what God has for you is not going to look like what God has for everybody else. Come on in here. It's not going to look like that. Too many of you are busy chasing somebody else's stuff. Amen. I saw these new lists come out. I seen these new lists. All the lists. Where the women can't go on their first date. You got a whole list of everything you can't do on your first date. Cool. So you're going to have no date. So you got the list of where you can and can't go on your first date, how much money he need to make. You know, I find this. I ain't found no list that say he got to be saved. I ain't found. And you can't go to church on the first date because that's on the list. So apparently what we don't want to say, but what I have heard is he needs to make it, you know, the ring. I saw the ring list. I don't know if you done seen that list, the ring list. I messed that up because ain't no way Jay wouldn't have married me if that list would have been out. You know what I'm saying? Because they said the ring got to be a minimum of $250,000. That was the minimum. I thought, Jesus Christ, I cleared my savings out to get that little ring that she had at the time. But now the ring got to be a minimum of $250,000. I can't go to none of these places. Can't be a chain. Can't be none of this stuff. Can't go to the concert. Can't go to the zoo. Can't go walking. Can't drive too far. Can't drive too short. Can't take you to the movies. I can't go to church. Can't do. So what you want? And so watch, listen to me. When you put down what you want, ignore what God wants for you, stop complaining when you get it. A laborer must know and never forget their designation. A laborer must know and never forget their origin. Here's the last one. Whew. Is this making sense? A laborer must know and never forget God's ability. A laborer must know and never forget God's ability. Put verse 30 on the screen, please, just one more verse. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means." I love that verse. "We should by all means go up and take possession of it. We'll surely overcome it. We got this. It's all good." Now, I spent hours on this point. It went through several iterations. Had several things about what the laborer should do, point three. But when God said, no, I need them not to forget my ability, because this ain't got nothing to do with you. And listen to me, the word ability is very important, because there is a difference between ability and capability. Come on, I can't move too fast. There's a difference between ability and capability. One more time for my wordsmiths in here. Ability and capability are not the same thing. So I did not say that a laborer needs to remember and never forget God's capability. That's not what I said. I said they need to remember and never forget God's ability. So let's talk about ability versus capability, because some of us pray like God is capable. Come on, I'm trying to get your labor up. You're praying like God is capable. And somebody in the room right now was like, "Of course he is." Oh, hold on. Hold on. Both ability and capability refer to the expertise in which we can perform something. So it seems as if you can interchange them. Johnny is able, Johnny is capable. However, ability refers to innate potential. Watch it. Ability refers to innate potential. Whereas capability must be learned. Ability cannot be changed because you don't learn it. Ability is the way something was made. Wait. This towel is able to wipe the sweat off my face. Not capable. It's able because it was made to do it. It don't have to try. You can't change that. It's innate. It's built into it. Are y'all walking with me? If it was capable, that would mean that it might need an upgrade. You might need to change some things. You might need some optional equipment before it can do that. Let me give it to you this way. I thought about you, Orlando, when God gave me this. A Super Duty pickup is capable of pulling a boat, even if it doesn't have a hitch. Y'all didn't hear me. A Super Duty pickup is capable of pulling a boat, even if it doesn't have a hitch. One more time. A Super Duty pickup is capable, it's fully capable of pulling the boat, even if it don't have a hitch. In order to pull the boat, you got to install the hitch. If you take the Super Duty pickup with no hitch and you say, can it pull the boat? Yes. But you need a hitch. If it was able, the hitch would have been built in. No optional equipment. If it needs to be upgraded, it's only capable. Oh, come on, come on. If it needs to be modified, it's only capable. Are y'all walking with me? So. When we pray as if God is capable, we're missing his innate ability to do whatever he wants to do. Y'all still not with me. God can never be confined to simply capability. Because when you do that, you pray and you go, well, God, I need you to get me out of this. Then you say, if you can. See, that's a capability. It's like the man who said, you know, if you can. Jesus said, if I can. All things are possible to him who believes. See, the reason that the man got rebuked is because he was talking to Jesus like he was only capable. But my God is, okay, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you even better. Elder Brittany, when the three Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace, they didn't say, my God is capable. That's not what they said. They said, my God is able, even if he doesn't. Even if he doesn't, God can get us out of this with no upgrades required, y'all. He don't need to modify nothing. This is why when they brought the boy to Jesus, and they couldn't get the devil out of him, and then he came in, and Jesus says, how long I got to suffer for y'all? Such kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. But Jesus was able to do it in a minute because Jesus was able. He didn't need the upgrade that the disciples needed. Because it was, oh, y'all see, somebody. He didn't need that upgrade. So y'all need to be upgraded. This is a life. This is built into me. Prayer and fasting is built into my DNA. Y'all need to be upgraded. And so when you get to praying and talking to a God as if God need to go figure some stuff out before he can get you out, as if God need to go research your job before he can give you a better one, as if God needs to modify his power before he can get you into a new house, as if God needs to read up on the economy before he can fix the situations going on in your life, as if God needs to go do a study course in your heart issue before he can heal you, as if God needs to learn about your gastrointestinal system before he can free you from that pain, as if God needs to go figure out what kind of tumor you have. Come on now, God is like, I'm not capable, I'm able. I don't need no new information. You telling me all of this stuff as if I need to be schooled on your problem. You better come to me like I'm the one who can. As a matter of fact, I'm the only one who can. They didn't go to God in that furnace and be like, it's 7 times hotter. It's pretty warm in here. According to our calculations, we have approximately 2 seconds before we die. So, you know, God, it would be nice if you could get us before that 2 seconds, because we have researched that according to our calculations, this is how hot it is. That's how we pray. Lord, so-and-so said that if I don't pay this by this Friday, that they're going to come in and they're going to do this. And so-and-so said that if they don't do this procedure by next week, that this is what's going to happen to me. And so-and-so said that if I don't do this about my kid ain't never going to get to this place. And so-and-so said, you talking to God as if God don't know everything. See, don't go to God trying to fill him in on all the details. You better go to God like he's able. See, a laborer understands the ability of God. And so you come to the one who is not surprised. You come to the
the one who is not worried. You come to the one who is not fazed, and you say, God, look here. This is what's going on. The land got the milk and honey, but there are some giants there, but I'm not fazed. You knew that already. So God, however you want me to handle it, you're able. You're able. You're able. Dr. So-and-so said, that this is what's about to happen to my body. I don't need to tell you, y'all. God, I don't need to tell you what the report says. I don't need to read these numbers to you. Oh, y'all. You sitting there reading your numbers to God. God says, now look, we could have been talking about something else. We could have been talking about, say, you telling me what your H1C is and all of that type of stuff. We could have been talking about something else. Or just come to me and ask me what to do. I already know what your numbers are. But see, here's the difference between me and other folks. Come on. God, when you go to God, God is like, listen, not only do I know what the numbers are before you tell me, I already know the solution. You don't need to reason with me. You don't need to go back and forth with me like, God, you know, if it's okay, if it's all right. Wait a minute. See, it's inherent. See, the thing about ability is it's innate. It can't be modified. There's no modification to it. It can be abused, but it can't be modified. Y'all. Remember, if I'm using the butter knife like a flathead screwdriver, that's, watch this, it's capable. It's capable, but it's abuse. Huh? And when I break it, or it fails to function, it's not, okay, it is not the fault of the butter knife. It's the fault of the one who did not use it according to its ability. Huh? And God is like, look, you sitting up here, you're trying to use me in a way that I'm not even designed. You want to use my power for your benefit. So you want to sick me on your enemies. You want me to get the people you don't like but leave you alone. Oh, it's okay. You don't want me to talk to you about your stuff, but you want me to go get your coworker and your crazy cousin and your uncle and them. You want me to take all of them out, and you want to be elevated, but you don't want to work. You want to go to the next level, but you don't want to be kind. You want to go to the next level, but you don't want to apologize. You need everybody to apologize to you, but you need to apologize to no one. God is like, that's not the way I work. Don't send me on no errand mission to try to correct people about behaviors that you're ignoring. Yep, that got quiet. So, number one, y'all right? A laborer must know and never forget their designation. Number two, a laborer must know and never forget their origin. Number three, a laborer must know and never forget God's ability. God don't need to learn. He's already equipped. He has an innate quality that cannot be removed. Huh? His power is in him. And it's not optional equipment. Huh? It's like we treat God like he got to power up. No, think about that. Even our church services treat God like he got to power up. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble, and I do not care. Think about this. Chris Simon, our church services treat God like he got to rev up like a car. Like God can't come in at the beginning of the service. He ain't got powered up yet. He can't come in if everybody is quiet, because you got to power him up. And you got to rev him up. Think about that's what our churches tell us, right? Like, the spirit got high. Can it get low? Ooh, the spirit was high. High time in the Lord. Is there a such time as a low time? Is there? I don't think you can be low in the Lord. And so
what we do, listen, because we created all of these non-biblical scenarios, you miss your whole healing, waiting for God to get revved up, waiting for your high time. Huh? It's like when Pentecost Sunday come and I get inboxes. Y'all gonna dance? Because if y'all gonna dance, I'm coming to service. Don't come. Don't come. Because listen, if you think that the only time that I'm gonna give God whatever he wants is on Pentecost Sunday, listen, I spin twirl right now. I don't need no drums, nothing. Come on now, I will Roger Rabbit for Jesus right here. Don't need me, I just Roger Rabbit for Jesus. Don't make me no difference. We can cabbage patch for the Lord right here. Ain't making me. I mean, we will troop for Jesus. I mean, I don't care nothing about all of that. Sitting up there like I need God to be revved up. I will run in man for the Holy Ghost. I mean, all over the... I don't need to be revved up. He's that good. All I need is a memory. See, all I need is a memory. I don't need nothing. I don't need like, come on, Tevin, help me ride. What does that even mean? What in the world? Come on, ride with me. No. I need Tevin taking notes. I need everybody. Come on now. I need everybody in there in their books. And if God decides he want to do a breakout, then let's break out and go back to the books. Huh? Hey, come on now. But when we think that we got to rev God up, you don't know God. I'm trying to educate the folk, but what done happened is we done messed around and put people in front of folks that don't know God. You would miss the still small voice? Come on. You waiting on God to shout, but you can't handle him raising his voice. You can't handle God raising his voice at you. You lose your mind. Let God raise his voice at you. Let God raise his voice. So my challenge to y'all as we, this, we should by all means. Now, stop trying to take possession of stuff that God didn't promise you. That is not your wife. That is not your husband. Stop trying to take possession of somebody else's stuff. That is not your job. Stop. I can't wait till so-and-so get fired because that's me. That's all me. It's not trying to take possession of something, not even yours. You a bad current employee. You gonna become a better employee with somebody else's job? I was recently talking to a pastor. He's an older gentleman. He was giving me so much wisdom. And he literally told me, he said, everybody's sitting around waiting for me to die because they want what I got. I said, man, that's messed up. He said, yeah, it just is what it is. He said, they're like, well, can't wait for him to die. Wait a minute. He's been anointed to operate in that possession for 40 plus years. He has. You're sitting there coveting something that first of all ain't yours. Yeah. And second of all, that might kill you. Yeah. God, for some of us is like, hey, I need you to reevaluate your prayer list. That ain't your stuff. That is not your stuff. Amen. We look at texts like this and we go, who giants in the land? That means that I'm supposed to go and try to buy, you know what? No, I'm about to go get my Maybach because that's my giant. Don't. Do not. Do not. Go get what's yours and don't worry about what you see. Go get what's yours and don't worry about what you see. Last time. Go get what's yours and don't worry about what you see. Amen? And stop, calm this noise down. Too many of y'all got too many people in your ear. Yeah.
Too many people. Too much of this. So-and-so said they thought it was a bad idea. Do they walk with the Lord? Well, they go to church. That's not what I asked you. Do they walk with the Lord? They on the such and so committee. I didn't ask you what committees they serve on. Do they walk with the Lord? How do you know? Look at their fruit. Look at their fruit. Amen. So I'm going to pray. Are y'all challenged?
Yeah.
And I know. When we look at it, you know, some people will love to preach that text, you know, because they look at Caleb and they look at him being, you know, tribe of Judah, and they like the praisers, because the praisers know Caleb wasn't even from that tribe. He wasn't even from that tribe. See, sometimes God will send you to a place that you're not even from to lead. See, please understand, what you see of Marketplace now, this is not where I'm from. This is not how I grew up. This is not, no. I grew up another way. But God had me bring some things, and he gave me a designation, but I can't forget my origin. Huh? That's why I can still raise a meter him right now. See, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. If I need to raise me a good old meter him, I can do it. Because you got to remember that. Because at some point, somebody might need that in their journey.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be through. Y'all challenged? Y'all get something? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for helping us. But thank you for correcting us, getting us together, challenging us, getting us in a place, God, where we can be better, not only with you, but for you. Forgive us, Lord, for putting you second. Forgive us, God, for talking about labor, thinking about labor, and wanting to be around labor, but not laboring. Forgive us, God, for wanting everything that comes with labor, but refusing to labor. Thank you, God, for being so gracious and patient with us. And God, also, if there's anybody in this place that is not saved, touch them that they may come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap those hands. Honor the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.